Last week we reached the point where we discussed concerning the choice of either be it male or female. The Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us advice to choose. And then we also discussed concerning the fact that in the Shariat there is no recognition of having a particular function or having a gathering in a sense which we refer to as engagement or engagement party or whatever it may be. Find my respected friends, before I go on with that one salient point concerning putting a proposal forward for a girl after having made istikhara namaz, after having made mashura with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the person's inclination is towards that girl and he places the proposal, then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given the directive, has given the advice to anybody else who may have been interested in that family, that لا يخطب الرجل على خطبة أخيه, that do not, once you become aware somebody else has placed a proposal for a girl and the family is considering that proposal, then now you do not go and place another proposal upon the first proposal that has already been gone, that has already gone. Because as we mentioned, my respected brothers, as was clearly shown to us by the incident from the life of the Sahaba, that whatever is muqaddar for a person, whatever Allah has destined for a person, only that will happen, nothing less than that and nothing more than that will ever happen. What Allah has destined for you, without a doubt, that you will get. No matter what you do, no matter which direction you go, no matter what type of plans you make, that which Allah has destined for you, that will happen and nothing else. So we find, my respected brothers, our yaqeen should be this, that if Allah has destined a particular girl for me, then definitely that something will happen. The family might turn down that proposal, they might look in another direction. But once we know that the proposal has gone, we shouldn't think to ourselves, as they say, there's plenty of fish in the ocean. We shouldn't think to ourselves that if I lose out on that girl, then I will be in a problem. I will not be able to find anybody else. So we find that this is a time when a person has to control his nafs, has to control his desire. And on the other hand, we find, very unfortunately, the practice becoming very common that if somebody has a very beautiful daughter or is well off and there are a lot of people interested in his daughter, he sort of like forms up a parade that once one proposal comes, he calls other people, anybody else wants to come, let them all come and see his daughter, and then he feels now that I've gathered about five or six people, I should choose from amongst them. This is directly contrary to the teaching of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there can never ever be khair in such a thing. There can never ever be good in such a thing because it contradicts the words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why we find, my respected brothers, if the yaqeen is there, as I mentioned time and again, if the yaqeen is there, that everything, the success of it lies in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all the solution to all these problems comes about. Because then we will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will look at the ta'aleem of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we will practice in this direction. And as I mentioned, my respected brothers, concerning these engagements, concerning wedding parties taking place, concerning what we call mehndi parties, all sorts of things, we have to sit, we have to think to ourselves, we have to go to the ulama-e-kiram, and we have to find out that in the life of the Sahaba, in the life of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the life of the Sahaba, in the life of the Tabi'een, in the life of the Tabi'een, has there ever been such a thing? Where has these things come about? What sanction in Sharia do we find for such things? We find, my respected brothers, the things that become so common that if that party doesn't take place, if that huge meal doesn't take place, if that 2 or 3 days beforehand that mehndi doesn't take place, we feel that the wedding has not even taken place. We find, my respected brothers, unnecessary attention is given in this direction, great amounts of money is spent in this direction, whereas on the one hand, we have the most beautiful and the most pristine words of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clearly said, and my respected brothers, this is the qanun, this is the principle, this is the law that we will have to apply in concerning nikah. We find that there are certain things in the Sharia wherein we are given inclination, wherein we are given targheeb, wherein we are invited to spend in that direction. And there are certain things in the Sharia, or certain functions, or certain times in our life, when the Sharia prohibits us from spending in that direction. Now, if a person has to go contrary to that, and begins to start spending huge sums of money in something which the Sharia has prohibited him from, then that we will refer to as israf. And the Quran says quite clearly, إِنَّ الْمُبَذِّرِينَ كَانُوا إِخْوَانَ الشَّيَاطِينَ, that those who make israf, they are the brothers of shaitan. So we find, my respected brothers, Nabi Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَعْظَمَ النِّكَاحِ بَرَكَةً أَيْسَرُهُ مَعُونَةً أو كما قال sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we find that any person whose daughter is about to get married or his son is about to get married, he'll meet the family, he'll meet his friends, every person he meets, he's asking him, make dua, Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in the marriage, Allah Ta'ala brings khair, Allah Ta'ala grants them pious children, Allah Ta'ala finds a good jorah for my daughter, etc. All the things we hear about, my respected brothers. But Nabi Prophet has given us the prescription, he has given us the formula. He says that that nikah in which the least expenses are incurred, inna azama nikahi barakatan, it has the most barakah. Allah Ta'ala will grant the most blessing to that particular nikah, wherein the least expenses, wherein the least problems are incurred. Now, if we are going to spend 1,000, 50,000, and 100,000, we even hear about, my respected brothers, in that direction, then it can never ever be with this niyat that I'm doing it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can that ever be the niyat when Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that the best nikah is where the least expenses are incurred? This is one direction, this is something in which Sharia does not sanction the wasting of money. Today we will talk about inflation having gone up, we will talk about the price of petrol gone up, we will talk about how difficult things are, we will talk how expensive it is to buy vegetables, how expensive it is to run a home. The same person when his daughter is getting married or his son is getting married, that time he'll take a loan for 50,000 and 60,000 and he spends it in this direction. What khair and what barakah can there ever be in such a thing, my respected brothers? When Nabi Prophet has said that that nikah wherein the least expenses occurred, that is the most barakah in it. And then, my respected brothers, together with this, there is one very, very important principle of Sharia which we should always remember. Nabi Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find when you look at the conjunction of our hadith, we learn that concerning breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning making guna, there are two types of sin a person can make. One type is that sin which is confined to that person, that is in the darkness of his home, when nobody is looking, he breaks the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His nafs, we find that his desires overtake him, and at that time, out of weakness, he broke the command of Allah ta'ala. But the fact of the matter is, that the sin only affects that person. Later on in his life, Allah ta'ala may give him the tawfiq, he may turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he may beg forgiveness from Allah ta'ala, Allah ta'ala will forgive such a person. On the other hand, my respected brothers, a much more dangerous type of sin, where we find Nabi Prophet said that man sanna sunnatan sayyatan fa alayhi wizruha wa wizru man amila biha, that person who becomes the means, he becomes the sabab of causing a haram or a wrong act to become aam, he becomes the means others to involve themselves in that haram, then upon him is the sin for the carrying out that action, and the sin of all the other people that do that wrong is also upon the head of this person. We find intermingling of sexes in such gatherings, when Nabi Prophet has said that لَعَنَ اللَّهُ النَّاظِرَ وَالْمَنْظُورِ إِلَيْهَا, that Allah's curse is upon the one that is looking at that haram, he's looking at that woman he's not allowed to look at, and the one towards whom the gaze is directed. We become the sabab of creating such gatherings. We find when Nabi Prophet has said that الْغِنَاءُ يُمْ النفاق في القلب كما ينبت الماء الزرع, that music causes hypocrisy, nifaq, to grow in the heart, like how when you put water in the ground and the plant grows. Sadiq al-Masduq sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that listening to music will cause nifaq, hypocrisy, to grow in your heart, like how that plant will grow. And we find that none of these gatherings take place. Even in our business, we feel that it is conducive towards increasing our business, that music must be there throughout the day. When the curse of Allah Ta'ala is upon such things, how can we ever be take pleasure in involving ourselves in such things? And not only do we put that music on, we become the means of all those other people listening to it, and we have to answer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, another aspect, another evil, respected brothers, we just have to think to ourselves, where have we gotten these things from? Either it is from the Hindus, or it is from the Nasara, or it is from the Yahud. The setting up of stages at weddings, where do we ever find such things? It is only amongst the Nasara, it is only amongst the Christians. Nabi Prophet said that مَنْ تَشَبَّهَ بِقَوْمٍ فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ, he who will imitate a nation, he is from amongst them. Such a grave warning Nabi Prophet gives us, that if you are going to follow the way of the Nasara, if you are going to follow the way of the other nation, then Allah will count you amongst that particular nation. We find the setting up of stages, and no wedding will take place unless, first and foremost, we must organize a photographer to come. We must organize now even a worse evil, that the TV camera must come there. Why are you doing such things? Don't you know it is haram? The simplest answer, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, how am I going to remember this happy occasion when my daughter got married? My respected brothers,
How far have we gone from the talim of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that kullu musawwirin fi nar fayuj'alu lahu nafsan bi kulli suratin yaj'aluha fayu'adhibuhu fi jahannam, o kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That every picture maker, every person who takes pictures, etc., such a person is in the fire of Jahannam, and for every picture he has made, Allah Ta'ala will create a living object that will cause azab to him in the fire of Jahannam. Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, man sawwara suratan fi dunya صور الله كلف أن ينفق فيها الروح يوم القيامة وليس بنافق. That person who makes a picture of an inanimate object in this world, Allah will make him mukallaf. Allah will command him that you try to imitate my qudrat of creating. On the day of judgment, Allah will tell him that now you made that inanimate object, now put life into it, blow a ruh into that person. And he says, وليس بنافق, you will never ever be able to put ruh into that person. إِنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَذَابًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ الْمُصَرُ. So we won't. That the worst azab on the day of judgment is for those people who make pictures of animate objects. My respected brothers, when the warnings are so severe, let us forget about our logic. Let us forget about all the same sort of excuses that Shaitan puts in our minds and that the West is feeding us. Let us realize that the warning was given to us by Nabi Abbas allows them that the worst type of azab is for such people. How can we become the sabab for such things? In the home, we find that when the visitors will come, they'll open it, look at this, look at that, we're showing pictures all the time, completely unaware or completely not paying any attention to the warning given to us by Nabi Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. My respected brothers, the point I am trying to get at is when our yaqeen is there that Allah is in Allah's hands, that nikah is going to succeed, that the only Allah Ta'ala is going to create love between these people, then how can we do everything to bring the azab of Allah Ta'ala, everything to bring the anger of Allah Ta'ala into that particular gathering, and then we turn our hands and make dua to Allah Ta'ala that Ya Allah, make it a success. And we want to know why the divorce rate has become so high, why there's no more barakat in the marriage, why such children are coming out of such marriages. My respected brothers, we have to think to ourselves and we have to realize it is about time that aside from making dua, it is about time that now we begin to bring the teachings of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam practically in our lives. And my respected brothers, I'm going to veer off at this point. In fact, we find that it is the opinion of most of the ulama, and we find that it is the opinion of those who have got tajrubah and experience, that in this day and age, when there is so much of fitna around us, when everything is inviting us in another direction, we will have to, most of us at least, my respected brothers, at least join the effort of Jamaat. We find that it is only this, my respected brothers, that is going to now start taking us in the right direction. That we find that people are so far away from deen, and they began to realize the value of sunnah, and became such beautiful Muslims, my respected brothers. We find that such fitna are going on around us, if not for our sake, at least for the sake of our children, we should get them involved in this effort, that is day in and day out, that they are inviting towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nevertheless, my respected brothers, the point I was getting at is that on the one hand is the teaching, is our present action, and on the other hand, we look at the simplicity of the life of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have made these things difficult. We have made it so difficult. When the man was to get his daughter married, he hasn't got any money in the bank, he is battling. Sharia has said that the most best nikah is the one where the least expenses is incurred. But now he thinks because the James and the Jones are doing it, now I've also got to do this. He takes out a loan, and for the rest of his life he battles. And because he did everything wrong, within 6 months later the daughter is back in his home. Now he has got an even bigger problem on his head. On his one hand he got the price on his head, and on the other hand he allowed his daughter to roam around with that person long before the marriage. They had done everything else that was supposed to take place before the marriage, and everything breaks up. Now the person wants to start crying, and he wants to think that what went wrong? Why did this big musibat come upon me? My respected brothers, we find that we take the formula for bringing the musibat, for bringing the difficulty upon us, we go in that direction, and then we want to know why this thing has happened to us. We find when Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Abdul Rahman bin Auf had performed his nikah, he told him, "Olim walo bishatin, make walima." Not make walima so that you may show off for the next person. Not make walima so that you may invite all the rich people in the town and say that my daughter is getting married and you may spend thousands and thousands. But make walima because it is not of Nabi Pak. Olim walo bishatin. He told him, make walima even if it is one sheep that you slaughter. He finds that in the ahadith of Nabi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to 11 women. He had 11 wives. We find the narrator of the hadith says that ma awlama rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala ahadin min nisaihi ma awlama ala zainab awlama bishatin aw kama qal. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not give a bigger walima to any of his wives as big a walima as he gave to Zainab radiyallahu anha. And what was that walima? The master of the heavens and the earth, the most beloved creation of Allah Ta'ala, if there ever was izzat, if there ever was respect in these riches and in the spending money lavishly in our wedding, then what wouldn't Allah have given His most beloved Nabi Apostle on the occasion of His wedding? Of the 11 wives, the biggest walima was one sheep slaughtered and given to the people. We find the respect that comes in another riwayat that one of the wives of Nabi Apostle, he performed walima with 2 sa' of barley. 2 sa' of barley comes to about 7 kilos of barley. Simplicity at its highest form. And what is the beauty of this? That it makes it so simple, even the poorest person in society, he doesn't feel hard to get his daughter married, because Nabi Apostle was a Nabi for each and every one of us. The Sharia has given us permission to spend the walimas, but my respected brothers, not the way we are doing it, not with this intermingling of gatherings, not with spending so extravagantly and bringing the azab of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Let us turn towards simplicity, let us turn towards the teachings of Nabi Apostle. We find that, in fact, we just narrate one incident from the life of one Sahabi, Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu. Inshallah, this week will not go beyond the time. We'll try to keep it short. We find, my respected brothers, that from this incident, there are a few pointers, inshallah, we'll try to draw your attention towards, where we see that Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu, when he got married to a woman from the tribe of Kinda, after the wedding, he goes with a few of his friends, he's going towards the house of his wife, and he's going to spend the first night with her, what we refer to as Shab-e-Zufaf. In Arabic, that is the first night that you're going to spend, where you're going to consummate that marriage. He goes to the house, and a few of his friends that followed him. Now we have to look at what would have been our practice. We would have called them inside, come and meet my wife, come and see all these things, see what a beautiful home I've got, see how I have everything set up. But he reaches the door of the house and tells his friends that this is up to where you go. You should not go any further, because it is only the act of fools who will now enter into home. Because the wife is something that has to be concealed. Allah Ta'ala's command is in that direction. She is specific, he is cast for that husband, he has not had to share with anybody else, and he should not share with anybody else. We find that he enters the home after having sent his friends away. The moment he enters the home, he sees that there is embroidery, there are draperies throughout the entire house. He asks those people, because they have set up the house for him and his wife, he asks those people, does this house have a fever? What is wrong with this home? So they ask, why are you asking that? So he says, why are the walls filled with these special draperies and these special type of curtains? Remove everything else, everything from this home, except that which is over the door. Because he says, does this home have a fever? Or does suddenly the Baytullah, the Kaaba, has it come to Kinda, that now you are filling it with a cloth throughout the entire house? So they remove everything. And then he sees that there are a lot of riches, there are a lot of presents that are found over there. My respected brothers, if we find anything for free, we find all these riches, how we will run towards these things and we will think Allah Ta'ala's barakat, Allah's rahmat has come upon us. But look at the words of the Sahabi of Nabi Apostle, he says that what is all these things around here? Ma bihada usani khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every step of their life, what was the ta'lim of Nabi Apostle? He says that my khalil, Nabi Apostle didn't order me about all these things. Usani khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah yakuna mata'i min ad-dunya illa kazadi raqib. That we find that they had understood the deception of this dunya. They had understood the type of effect earning the possessions and the beauties of this dunya has upon the iman of a person. So immediately he says that my Khalil sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me that I should have about this dunya enough for a traveler. I do not want anything more. Take all these things away from me. Then he sees a lot of servants in the house. He says, what is the need of all these servants? My Khalil, again, the words of Nabi Apostle sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every aspect of their life, my Khalil, because they understood that izzat, respect, dignity, honor in this world and the hereafter was only in the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was in nothing else. If only we can get that understanding that this is the true beauty, this is the true essence, and this is what is going to earn us akhirat, my respected brothers, then we find that our dunya and akhirat will become made. We find, he says, that my Khalil sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told me to keep only those people with me about whom I can be responsible, that is only my family. I shouldn't keep anybody more than that, because if the servants are going to break the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will also have to answer before Allah ta'ala. I don't want the responsibility. Send away the servants. Then he sees a lot of women gathered in that room. He says that, will you women please excuse me, I would like to be alone with my wife. That is not to sit down and sit and chatter and waste time in all these frivolous pursuits. He sends them all away. And then we find, my respected brothers, that here is the beauty shown to us of the ta'lim, the sharia ta'lim of nikah. He goes up to his wife, he makes her sit down, he places his hand on her forehead, and he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala with that yaqeen that only Allah Ta'ala is going to bring barakah in this nikah. He puts a hand on his forehead and he says, Allahumma inni as'aluka khayraha wa khayra ma fiha wa khayra ma jabalta alayhi wa a'udhu bika min sharriha wa sharri ma fiha wa sharri ma jabalta alayhi. Said, ya Allah, I ask of you the khayr, the good of this woman, and the good that you have placed in her, and I seek your protection from her evil and whatever evil is found in her. We find, my respect, that the type of yaqeen, that the success and that I'm going to get good from this woman is only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the one type. And what is the other type? All those hooting that is going on. The husband and the wife jump into a fancy car. All the people are gathered around it. They go to some haram place where they don't even know if the bedspreads are clean or who has been here before, what we call the honeymoon, because the Nasara are doing it, we have to do it. They must have their privacy on the first night. They must go far away where there's be music going on. We're down in the very same hotel, liquor is being drunk. At that time there is no thought of the talim of Nabi Abbas Allah Azam. At that time, how many of us go to our sons and we say, then my son, you are getting married. This is the dua you should read when you meet your wife. This is the dua you should read when you perform intercourse with your wife, etc. Nothing, no interest is given towards the talim of Nabi Abbas Allah Azam. We find we have gone from such a place where it is your right that I should obey you. Then he says, O Sani Khalili sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا جِتَمَعْتُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِي أَنْ أَجْتَمِعَ عَلَىٰ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. And here is our lesson, my respected brothers. He said that my Khalil, Nabi Taaf sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has given me this wasiyat. He has commanded me that when I go together with my wife, that when I get married, when I live with that woman, the criterion, the foundation, the most fundamental aspect of that marriage, the niyat behind that marriage, the driving force behind that marriage, ala ta'atillahi azza wa jal, to bring the obedience of the command of Allah Ta'ala into our life. We find, my respected brothers, if we make that the foundation of our nikah, then we will be successful in this year, in this world and hereafter. What a beautiful ta'aleem. And on the other hand, my respected brothers, what is going on in our lives? We find that intermingling, we bring all sorts of people into our homes. Our wife is displayed to everybody else. Then when she goes out with another man, when problems come about, we want to wonder what is happening. Why, my respected brothers, are we bringing the ta'aleem of the West into our homes? Why are we going in a completely different direction? Once a sahabi addresses Nabi Abbas Allah, and he says that, Ya Rasulullah, if I to find another man with my wife, I will kill that person straight away. The Sahaba around him became very surprised at the vehemence, the desire, the dignity, that honor that they had, that my wife is only for me, she is not choose to be shown to anybody else. They became surprised that this person is saying such a thing. Nabi Abbas often said that you are surprised at what he is saying. I have more ghairat, I have more dignity, more honor than he has, and Allah has more ghairat than even I have. That is, Allah Ta'ala cannot tolerate that when you are showing your women in front of anybody else. We find that the person is well off, he is earning very, very well, but he cannot stand that woman wants to go into the shop. The man is standing there, his wife is standing there, her hair is displayed, she is talking to all sorts of people from the public. My respected brothers, where is the ta'aleem of Nabi Abbas Allah? Where is that dignity? Where is shame? Where is honor? Where is modesty? We find that Nabi Abbas Allah said that Al-Haya wal Imanu Quranahu Jami'a, that Haya, shame, Haya and Iman are two inseparable entities. They are linked to each other. فَإِذَا رُفِيَ أَحَدُهُمَا رُفِيَ الْآخَرِ. If one is not found, the other will not be found. الْحَيَا وَشُعْبَةٌ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. Shame, modesty is one branch of Iman. That is the importance that the Shariah has given to us. But we find that what is our ta'aleem? A person will be going past, it hurts us, my respect, when we pass some of the Muslim homes, the man's wife is standing on the street and talking to somebody else. What type of barakat and khair? How the children are going to be brought up in that home? My respected brothers, we cannot say that she is not pious, I am not interested. Nabi Abbas said, Allah, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyati. Be warned, every one of you is a shepherd, and you are going to be questioned concerning your subordinates. You are going to be questioned, why did you not implement the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your home? My respected brothers, shame and dignity have gone out of our homes. We find that the sahabi says that Allah told me that I should come together with you on the ibadat, on the ita'at of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the obedience of Allah ta'ala. One incident, very long incident related, where a sahabi one day is returning home, and we find that he sees his newly married wife standing on the doorstep. Such ghairat, such honor and dignity they had. He immediately becomes angry and he takes out his sword in that vehemence and in that anger. Immediately his wife tells him that, do not be speedy, do not rush toward me like that. You do not know why I came out of the home. There was a snake in that house, that is why he had come out. It's Sahih riwayat of Muslim Sharif, where it shows the ghairat and the dignity the Sahaba had. But respectfully, if we can bring these things into our life, where we do not look at other people's wives, we do not look at other people's women, and we do not show our women to anybody else, then half the problems, half the broken homes, all these things, the Ali of Nabi Abbas Allah is giving us the prescription if we can only go in that direction. Nevertheless, as Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu, after that he performs two rakat namaz, his wife also performs namaz. Thereafter they do what any married couple does on the first night. Then the next day we find that his friends come to him, and the first question, Kaifa wajadta ahlaka, that how did you find your wife? What was it like? How was your first night? What will be our reaction? And look at what the reaction of the sahabi is. He says, he turned away from them. Then they came from the other side and asked him the same question. He turned away again. Then they came and persisted and asked the same question again. How was it? How was your first night? How was the wife? We find the Sharia teaches us tasattur, to conceal what goes on in that home. Immediately the sahabi tells this person that, concern yourself with what is apparent and what is zahir. Do not concern yourself, what has Allah Ta'ala created windows, what has Allah Ta'ala created doors and curtains. Do Do not concern yourself with what that which is hidden. And he says that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is given the similitude of a person who performs intercourse with his wife, and then he goes and talks about it. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it is like two donkeys having intercourse in public. We find, my respected brothers, let us learn about these things and let us bring these things into our life. We find, I had intended also to talk about what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us concerning how we should deal with our wife, but unfortunately I have run out of time. Allah Ta'ala gives life an opportunity, we will continue.